And brethren, good afternoon, those of you that are here and to those of you online. It's been an unusually wet week here in San Diego, but fair today. As a matter of fact, it's kind of warm outside. Perhaps the clouds were raining, but how about you? Were you crying this week? Were you sad and dismayed, or do you have hope? My message right now will stress hope. If you are down in the dumps, and there are some in our congregation who are, I hope this message will cheer you up. The title is, The Hope That the World Cannot Give. The Hope That the World Cannot Give. Some of this congregation are really, really hurting. Some have lost loved ones, and some have even lost parts of their body. That's pretty serious when you think about it. But now let's switch gears and consider what Jesus lost. What did he lose? He lost almost everything physical before his death. His friends deserted him, and the only man to stand by and watch him die was John. Everybody else ran away. Jesus' suffering was anything but easy. And he had every reason to get upset and totally lose faith, but he didn't. He didn't. He remembered all the promises that he had given in the past to those prophets and had even spoken to those people around him. Right up until the end. We lose a job, a house, a loved one, or maybe things don't seem fair to us. And you know what? Maybe they're not. A lot of things happen that aren't fair. Maybe we have a real right to complain. You know, things in Satan's world often aren't fair. They just aren't. You know, it's Satan's world. He runs things. Often, they're not fair. So if we are human, and I think most of us are human, we can get scared. Stuff happens. We can get scared. After all, you would say, and I would say, well, Jesus was special. He was special. He was God. You know, he had something going for him. He was God. Of course, he knew how to keep it under control. But don't you and I, don't we know the exact same thing that Jesus knew? Let's read some of what we all know or should know. Let's read it right now and see if maybe we can get into that attitude that our Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Messiah, had. Let's go to, first of all, John 14. John 14, verse 8. John 14, verse 18. John 14, verse 18. And I want to emphasize this. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And we know he's speaking to those special friends that he had on the earth there before he was crucified and died and then was resurrected. But isn't he talking to us too? I mean, This is the way that I'm thinking. He's talking to us too. If you will, and I don't have time, it's going to be a short message, but if you read the context of John 14, you cannot read that context of John 14 without seeing how much we are included in those promises that Jesus gave. I want to pass over now to Matthew 28:20. Only going to give three scriptures, but I would highly recommend that you go home and read all of John 14. Anyway, Matthew 28:20. Because we all believe that Jesus is returning, but some wonder if, will we be here the same return, or is our life so short, going to be cut so short that we won't be able to say, welcome, Master? Well, let's look at Matthew 28:20. Some see their lives as being a mess right now, and they almost wish that they would die. So in Matthew 28:20, it says something else, and now I'm going to ask you to do something. Please give me a break and do this. I want to pass over the first part and start reading the last sentence of Matthew 28:20. After Jesus told his called and chosen ones to teach and obey everything he had commanded, then he said, and surely I am with you even to the end of the age. Now, I know he was talking to those special ones, but he's talking to us. Don't you see that? Don't you see that he's talking to me and you? I'm with you to the end of the age. If you believe that, then it's going to make a difference. This verse states clearly that if we have learned and are practicing what Jesus taught us, he is with us. He is with us. So Jesus is with us now, and he said he would never leave us. That should give us assured hope. That alone should give us assured hope. We know this. We've read it before, but maybe, like some of those ancient Israelites, maybe we tend to forget it. Maybe we need to have it written on bands of copper and nailed to our heads, or, you know, wear it on a thing around our heads so that everybody will see what we actually believe. Some people did believe this. Some did. And one was the Apostle Paul. What did he write? What did Paul write? Well, he wrote this not long before he was martyred. I like to think of that. Let's go to Romans 8. This is after he had been beaten and left for dead, after he had had to be stimulated by Luke the physician, brought back to life, more or less, physical. But let's go to Romans 8 and see what he wrote in verses 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38. And Paul says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, on the other hand, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither the height or depth, neither anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when he says us, do you see yourself in there? We're the us. We're at least part of the us. Nothing should separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means you and me. And Paul said this while he was very much alive, but like I said, he was after he had been stoned and left for dead, after he had gone through all sorts of things, and just shortly before he was going to be martyred. So even though he'd gone through all this stuff, he wasn't panicking. He wasn't saying, well, where's God? You know, he wasn't saying that. He was saying nothing will separate me or us. He uses the word us, the plural, from the love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want us to go back to John 14 for just a minute, because I realize that most of us know all this. We know this. We've learned it. And many of us believe this, but we're all human. We're all human. So our humanity often gets in the way, you know, and we get a little nervous. So let's read John 14, verse 27. Jesus makes a very powerful point here. John 14, verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And I want to turn that around just a little bit. I'm going to keep all the same parts of the verse in there, but I want to say it like this. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Because peace I leave to you and my peace I give to you. And then I want to emphasize, I do not give it to you as the world gives. So there's a difference there. There's a contrast. How does the world give peace? Well, the world... Let's go to 1 John 2:16. I'm almost done. Might even finish a little bit early. But I want to go to 1 John 2 and read verse 16 very slowly. How does the world give peace? That's the contrast that I want to show here. John says in 1 John 2, verse 16, the world offers a craving for physical pleasure. Ever watch television? I see it all the time. A craving for everything we see and pride in our achievements and our possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. That's what the world offers. That's not what Jesus is offering us. That's not what we should want. Brethren, remember, we are not, or at least we should not be, of Satan's world. Like Jesus, we are children of the living God. Live that reality. Our hope is real.